Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk about the doctrine called Universalism, which says everybody goes to heaven. The purpose of this is to demonstrate that the Bible does not support the Universalist idea that all people eventually go to heaven. Questions.org has this definition. Universalism is the belief that everyone will be saved, that all people eventually end up in heaven. That's quote-unquote from GotQuestions.org. This is the most basic definition of universalism, but it should be noted that Christian universalism is not annihilationism, which teaches that unbelievers in hell are eventually or immediately burned up, annihilated. Christian universalism is not inconsistent with exclusivism, which says Jesus is the only exclusive way to God. Christian universalists are saying all people will eventually be in heaven, not that there are many ways to get there. And Christian universalism does not necessarily exclude repentance. Otis Ainsworth Skinner reported, quote, "We do not expect any man will be saved while he continues in sin. The reason why we hold to universal salvation is we expect all men will repent," close quote. Universalism is an old idea. Roman Catholic author Trent Horn, in Criticism of Universalism, reported this historical note about Origen, written in the 3rd century. Quote, "It was his view that all human beings would eventually be drawn to God and all things will be reconciled to God and no one will be in hell. The church condemned Origen's view and they condemned the doctrine of universalism around the year 543. Keith DeRose, professor of philosophy at Yale University, says, quote, "Universalism refers to the position that eventually all human beings will be saved and will enjoy everlasting life with Christ." Close quote. Now, Professor DeRose makes, in my opinion, the most thorough case in favor of universalism, so for the most part, I'll be evaluating his explanations. First, some basic Bible passages that deny universalism. Daniel 12:2, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there will be many who enter through, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it." Matthew 7:21-23, "Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Matthew 25:41, "He'll say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Jude 7, "And said, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, exhibited as examples of undergoing the punishment of eternal life." And then Revelation 20:10, "And the devil who has deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were already, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, let's look at some Bible passages used in support of universalism. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Now, here's Professor DeRose. Quote, "It's very clear, I think, that those who are made alive in Christ are, as it's often put, saved. The question is, to whom will this happen? And the passage's answer is all. This passage says that all shall be made alive. How? In Christ. Close quote. Well, my answer is the passage is about bodily resurrection of believers. It's not about salvation. Believers are made alive, raised from the dead, and given their resurrected bodies at the rapture. 2 Corinthians 4:14. The 1 Corinthians 15:22 is about the bodily resurrection of believers. Everyone in Christ will be made alive, that is, raised from the dead. Consider the verse before and after 1 Corinthians 15:22. In verse 21, it says, "For since a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead." Verse 23 says, "But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming." Verses 21 and 22 tell us that just as in it is certain that all died in Adam, it's also certain that all in Christ will be raised from the dead. Verse 23 gives the order of resurrection as Christ Jesus, then those who are saved in Christ will be raised. Verse 23 is the order of the resurrection as first Jesus Christ and the second those who come from the rapture of the church. Another passage used in support of universalism is Colossians 1:19 and 20. The verse says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Now, Professor DeRose says this, quote, "Note again the all. Show me someone burning in hell, and I'll show you someone who has not been reconciled to God. So show me someone who's under divine punishment forever, or who will simply be annihilated, and I'll show you someone who's never reconciled to God through Christ, and thus someone who gives the lie to the passage," end quote. Well, it's a really complicated way of putting it, but anyway, the problem it seems to be that Professor DeRose does not understand the doctrine of reconciliation and its role in salvation. Every human being is reconciled by the cross. The cross of Christ accomplished propitiation, satisfying God's wrath against sin. Reconciliation, changing mankind so all people are savable. And redemption, paying for our sins. Reconciliation means change. The cross reconciled every human being to God. All people are changed in that they are now savable through Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul said, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. The whole world has been changed so that their sin is no longer the issue that separates them from God. Consider two questions. Why do unbelievers go to hell? Answer, because they're sinners. They're dead in their trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2:1. Now another question, why do unbelievers not go to heaven? Well, the answer, they've not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their sin is no longer the issue. Christ paid for their sin, so faith in Jesus Christ himself is the only issue. Colossians 1:19 and 20 teaches a universal reconciliation, not a universal salvation. Another passage used to support universalism is Romans 5:18 and 19. Passage reads, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous." Here's a quote from Professor DeRose, quote, "For whom will Christ's act of righteousness lead to acquittal, brackets, common word for justification in bracket, of life and life? Answer, all men. I'm still quoting Professor DeRose, that many will be made righteous is perfectly compatible with all being made righteous. All dogs are mammals, true or false. Many dogs are mammals, true of course. Many and all don't logically exclude each other. Well, my answer is that Romans 5 is about imputed sin. We're all sinners because we were born into Adam's sinful human race. Romans 5:18 tells us that in spite of our position of condemnation, Christ's act of righteousness made justification available to all men. Professor DeRose equates all with many using the logic, all dogs are mammals, true or false, many dogs are mammals, true of course. But that does not make his case. No one who is intending to say all dogs are mammals would say some dogs are mammals. And if they said many dogs are mammals, we would assume that it meant some dogs are not mammals. But a lot of them are. Anyway, the all versus many conflict is resolved by simply saying many means a large number. A large number of people were condemned in Adam, and a large number will be made righteous in Christ. Here's a summary and a conclusion. There's definitely a universal component to the biblical doctrine of salvation. The universal accomplishments of Christ's death on the cross include a universal propitiation, a universal reconciliation, and a universal redemption. Let's just review what those are. Universal propitiation is God being satisfied, the wrath of God is satisfied. Universal reconciliation, mankind is changed, they're savable. And universal redemption, all the sins are paid for, but not universal justification. Justification being declared right, which is our salvation, requires faith in Jesus Christ. There is no indication in Scripture that everyone will exercise that faith. The problem the universalists have is there's no passage in the Bible which says what they claim. No passage says all people will eventually repent. No passage says people go to hell for a while since their sins are paid for and then go to heaven or until their sins are paid for. No passage says sinners have an opportunity to come to Christ after their death. The reality is unbelievers do not want to go to heaven. They may want to avoid the suffering in hell, but that does not mean they want to be with God. Unbelievers love sin and hate God, his holy character, and its righteous applications. C.S. Lewis in 1945 wrote a book called The Great Divorce, which tells a story about people in hell who took a bus ride from hell to heaven. And after learning what heaven was like, they voluntarily got back on the bus to return to hell. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on the subject with the footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.